Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional and an author from Idaho, USA, Lisa Gerber. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. Lisa is a communications and storytelling strategist. She's an author, and all of you know that I'm very partial to authors. She's an author of a book titled From So What to So Funded, How Nonprofits Use Story to Create Impact and Change the World. And she's got another book coming up, which is The Power of Story. So Lisa, before we talk about storytelling and your book, tell me about your own journey in brief and what motivated you to focus on being a story strategist and communications expert.
Sure. Thank you. So it is a journey without a plan, actually. Mm-hmm. I graduated college having no idea what I wanted to do with my mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And on the advice of my father, he suggested that I go to the Colorado Rockies to go skiing because mm-hmm. I love skiing. Mm-hmm. So not one to argue with my father. Mm-hmm. I followed his advice. Mm-hmm. So I was a ski bum for a couple of years in Aspen, mm-hmm. Colorado. And I started thinking about how I'm going to get on track with my marketing degree. Mm-hmm. And I moved to Seattle, where mm-hmm. I eventually would get a job with an urban developer in downtown mm-hmm. Seattle in a marketing capacity for them. So one morning I came into work and I found out that the company I was working for had bought, of all things, a ski resort in Idaho.
Okay.
So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And a year later, the marketing director resigned and they asked me to take the position. Wow. So I don't know how many years, maybe 5 or 6 years after I left Colorado, my life had come full circle. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to move to Idaho. Mm-hmm. And this time I was skiing, but I had an office and I had skis hanging in my office. It was an actual dream come true. Just
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yes.
So after a few years, I left that and I struck out on my own. I needed a new challenge. I wanted to do more things. And I started my own practice, my own. It was a PR agency at the time. This was 20 years ago. So the work that I have done during that time has evolved as technology has changed, as the way we tell stories have changed. But the thing that I've loved in the through line all the way across is helping organizations tell their story for the right audience. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did in PR. And now we can tell our own stories. And I've noticed there, you know, through that time, leaders who struggle to get noticed. They're doing mm-hmm. incredible work, technically proficient, technically savvy, deep subject matter experts mm-hmm. who have a hard time talking about their work mm-hmm. in a way that gets others to care about it. Mm-hmm. And so I found my niche finally after all of this time of just saying yes to adventure and to opportunities. And that's what I do now. I teach leaders in the nonprofit and for-profit sectors how to use the power of story.
What a journey. Thank you for sharing this. My next question to you is that based on all your experience, what common mistakes do people and organizations make in their storytelling efforts?
Yeah. So what I tend to see is we talk about the thing, and I put myself in it too, because mm-hmm. we're all, we all need that outside perspective in storytelling. Mm-hmm. But we talk about the thing that we're excited about, and it's not necessarily the things that they are excited about or that they care about. You know, at its most simple, we're so excited about our new website or our 20th anniversary or our new processes. Mm-hmm. And no one else really cares. Mm. And so they, we get frustrated because we think we're storytelling and we're not doing a good job. Mm. Another mistake is sort of in the same vein, mm. but it's understanding where your audience is at and it's putting the story in their frame of reference. Mm-hmm. So why should they care? What's in it for them? And
right.
how can they understand?
Very interesting.
Okay. Those are the big common ones. I could keep going, but I'll give you that.
Absolutely. But also, you know, as you mentioned, you know, someone's talking about a 20th anniversary or something, which leaders may think is significant, but your customers or your audience may not. How do you help leaders identify the right story? And what advice would you give to someone struggling to find the right story?
Yeah. It's really important to listen first. You know, we talk about storytelling, but maybe we don't talk about story listening. And it's really important to know what's being said about you, what the perception is, and where people are. Like I said earlier, where are the people? Where are they in their knowing of you? Mm. Everyone's on a journey to get to know you. Maybe they haven't heard of you. And so how are you telling a story that's going to quickly get their attention so that, you know, just that quick 5-second thing that's going to get them to stop scrolling, stop walking. Maybe they've heard of you, but they don't understand what it is you do. So what are those things that they don't understand about you? What are the objections, the misinformation, you know, just looking at the landscape and understanding. And so what's the story there that can help them understand? And when we listen and know and answer the questions on that we know that are on people's minds that they need to have answered in order to trust you and get to know you. It may be a personal story.
Right.
It could be an organizational story. And so I urge clients to look for a moment instead of just reciting a timeline of events, because a story is not a history, but just like it typically hinges on a moment, an aha moment, a moment of transformation. Maybe it's why you got into the work that you do. Maybe it's why your company was founded, or maybe it's around a particular problem that you solve.
Right.
And to start with that and build it from there.
Well said. And I'd love to get your perspective on visual storytelling versus textual storytelling.
So powerful, often more powerful. If I could take a step back for just a moment, I think we tell stories in so many ways, whether we realize it or not. So there's much more than verbal and textual and obviously visual. There's body language. You know, if I'm sitting here talking to you with my arms crossed, what's the story I'm telling? And so it's important to go beyond just the stories that you're telling and the stories that you are inadvertently telling. Our systems, our processes, our policies, those are all part of our story. But to get back to visual, can be even more powerful, right? I mean, we say, actions speak louder than words, and a picture is 1,000 stories.
Correct.
What's coming to mind for me right now is the tragic story of the young boy, the Syrian boy, the photo of the
Absolutely.
Who was washed up on the beach, right?
Yep.
And how that changed the conversation on the Syrian humanitarian crisis with one photo.
Right.
And organizations had been putting out facts and data, reports and updates for 4 years. And it took one picture to spike donations, to spike. I know there's been studies done on this photo and the impact it has had and how searches have spiked from that. And so, I think that it's important as us as storytellers and leaders in our spaces to think beyond just the stories that we're telling with our words.
What a powerful example. And as you were talking, Lisa, I was thinking of a few other interesting photographs that left an imprint. One was that guy in Tiananmen Square who was standing in front of the tank. The other one was this little young Afghan girl who made it to the cover of Time with beautiful green eyes. And the third one I remember was the little girl running in Vietnam with just when the napalm bombing was going on. You know, and you're so right. Some photographs leave a very, very deep impression on each one of us. Thank you for this amazing story that you've just told me.
Do you remember the one with in Times Square with the sailor is kissing the stranger, like on a happier note, just this photo of pure joy.
End of World War. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very well said. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're
my next question to you is that how can we use storytelling to be an effective tool for internal change?
Yeah. There was a study done by McKinsey at the time of the Great Resignation after the pandemic, on the heels of the pandemic, to understand why people were leaving. And what the employees were, well, I should start with what they were asking leaders, why their employees were leaving. And the leaders said, because they wanted more money. And when they asked the employees why they were leaving, they said that they were looking for more purpose, that their bosses didn't recognize them. And it's such an interesting acknowledgement of the disconnect right there, just in the responses to the survey. And how that, what that has to do with internal change and the leaders, it is inherent upon leaders in corporate spaces to use storytelling to connect with their employees. I did some work with a global organization through a transformation and to help them specifically with their communications. When I talked to a department head, she said that when she doesn't hear from her senior leadership, she assumes that they are just fighting another lawsuit, was what she said. And there was no lawsuit. Wow. And so what I'm getting at is that employees are looking to their leaders in times of uncertainty, in times of great change, no matter what it is, if it's a pandemic or it's just an internal organizational transformation. And it's really hard for them to navigate. They want to be seen and recognized. And in order to do that, leaders should step up and become more vulnerable, a little bit more transparent. And they can do that best with their storytelling.
Well said. And since you referred to purpose-driven organizations, my next question is, how does storytelling differ in purpose-driven organizations compared to traditional businesses?
I don't think it differs. You know, storytelling is storytelling. It's been with us since very close to the beginning of humankind.
Right.
And whether you are saving the planet or selling boat sauce, stories are stories.
Yeah.
I think the difference is that a traditional business needs to hire employees, create great products and experiences for their customer and sell those and drive revenue. A nonprofit needs to attract good people, the same, good volunteers, create great programs and drive revenue through their donations. So the key elements are all there. Story changes for our stories are all different and every story should have a purpose. We talked about strategic storytelling. And so so all that to say that storytelling is the same for nonprofits or for profit, but the purpose and the context will always change.
Well said, great response. And how would you balance emotional appeal versus factual information in storytelling?
Yeah. Back to the strategic storytelling. My definition is that a story is always rooted in truth, right? Stories can be fiction, but in strategic storytelling, it's very much rooted in truth and facts. So we always start with the facts, but there's sort of this, I'm just visualizing this sine curve throughout with the emotional appeal thread. Have you ever watched a commercial or a speech and someone's crying and it sort of starts to trigger that within you?
Absolutely. So
emotions are contagious. And it's important to include our emotions. How did the people in the story feel? So how did they feel when the problem was in front of them? How did they feel after it was resolved? The experiences within the story are going to be unique, but emotions are universal, and that's where we connect. So there has to be both, because experiences are unique, but the emotions, that's not only contagious, but universal. And we get those.
Fascinating. And, you live in probably one of the most culturally diverse countries in the world, the US. Is there a cultural context that influences the crafting of a story?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we come from all different countries, different cultures, and our ability to understand stories depends entirely on our own perspectives.
Absolutely. And stories shape our worldview at at a really young age.
Correct.
Right? With the parent, the stories that we've been told when we were children, the stories that we are read, the movies and the books that are, you know, the fairy tales that young children are read. Even look at some of the creation stories from different cultures. If you look at the story of Adam and Eve and the Western Christian religions versus more indigenous cultural stories, they've, you know, spawned completely different cultures. One on the, you know, one of abundance and reciprocity and gratitude, or the other of scarcity and punishment and temptation. So it's really important for us to understand what culture we are working within, because at its most fundamental, culture is a collection of stories.
Right.
And if we're going to add to that collection of stories, we have to know what those stories are. And maybe we're even adding to that collection of stories to shift the story, which is also exciting.
Well said. And Lisa, how has the digital age, you know, everyone's, you know, on different kinds of social media, putting their own views. Social media is moving at the speed of nanoseconds. How has the digital age transformed the way we tell and consume stories?
There's a positive and a negative, like as in any progress. When I started my PR agency 20 years ago, we relied on the media to get our story out there.
Right.
Right. And now, and that's why my work has evolved, because as technology has changed, now we all have the ability to take a bit more control of the narrative and to be able to put it out there. At the same time, it makes it much more challenging, right? Because previously, there were a lot fewer channels, so you didn't have as much competition. Now the competition for attention is so intense. So it's really an important part. And we talked about this a few minutes ago. It's like, what's that really quick 5-second thing to get someone's attention? How are you speaking to their problems in a fast enough, quickly enough to get them to stop the scroll, stop passing by you, and to just stop and learn more? So there's a little bit of a tier to how you're telling your story. Get their attention, get them to want more, and then to further connect.
Well said. So two more questions for you regarding storytelling, and then I want to move to your books. How important is listener feedback in shaping a storytelling strategy?
It's everything. Because we think the storytelling is about us, but the stories in the end are about our listener. They should always have something in service to the listener. They should be better in one way or another. So having their feedback is important. And actually, that would be the other common mistake that I would add, is that we don't practice our stories enough and get feedback and refine. And it's why so many think we're not good at storytelling. But just like you would edit an email or something before you send it out, how are you practicing your stories and looking for reaction and what resonates?
Right.
And refining accordingly. It's everything.
Well said. Well said. And if you were to, if I was to ask you to look at your crystal ball, tell me, what do you see as the future of storytelling, and how do you think it'll evolve in the next few years with so much technology?
Yeah. It will continue to be an important element of anyone's leadership journey to use storytelling to connect. AI is going to play a big role. It is playing a big role.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because I would like to say, oh, well, storytelling is the thing that's going to, you know, keep you differentiated. And to a degree, it is, because the human centeredness will be so important as we move into this next era. We shall see. I mean, it's not going anywhere. Advances have not happened in storytelling itself. It's more in the distribution and the technology that helps us get the story out there.
Well said. So Lisa, I'm not going to ask you about your two books. Let me start with your first one, From So What to So Funded. I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Lisa Gerber's book, From So What to So Funded. Tell me about your book and what was your hypothesis when you wrote it?
My book. So you said earlier, what did you say about authors and loving books? I've always known that, you know how some people, many know they've always wanted to have children. I always knew that I wanted to have a book.
Absolutely.
So yes. I'm just so happy to have finally put my first book out into the world. It was specifically because the previous 5 years I had been working with many nonprofit leaders. My hypothesis for the book is that we get so immersed in the work that we do that we struggle to be able to speak to it, to the work that we do, in a way that gets others to care. Did I answer your question? I feel like I...
No, I mean, I think
there was another part
part
to
of it.
It.
But, you know, I said, what was your hypothesis when you wrote the book?
Right. So I wanted to amplify my message to help others who are looking to, it sounds naive, make the world a better place, who are making positive change in the world. So if I could get this book out in the hands of more and more mission-driven people, then fantastic. And if they want to bring me in to help them, it's sort of a companion to my workshop. And so it really sort of kind of front loads them before we do some more intense work. But I also wanted to offer it to any of your listeners. I know I have my second book coming out, hopefully this spring, but this particular book, if anyone's interested in the digital version, I'm happy to share a link with you. I don't know if you want me to send it out.
How do our viewers and listeners reach out to you?
So bigleapcreative.com is my website, and /TBCY is a special page, and they can download that book for free.
Okay, and we'll put this on the summary of your page on our website as well.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And my last question, and this is about your forthcoming book, The Power of Story. Tell me a little bit about this book as well.
I wanted to broaden out to, you know, I find myself working in corporate spaces now and with what I would call technical professionals, like engineers and financial services professionals, and people in working in spaces that are maybe more challenging to understand, scientific, you know, scientists, that kind of thing. So how can we take this work and broaden it out so it's not just nonprofit specific? And that's the power of story. Yeah, I go into like three. Yeah.
Fascinating. Lisa, on that note, I want to say thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for the amazing stories that you have had in your life till you finally got into telling stories and, you know, deciding to make your passion your career. Thank you for talking to me about so many different aspects of storytelling. I think I learned many new things from you today. Thank you also for speaking to me about both your books, and good luck with your forthcoming book. Thank you again
very much. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.